Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
We are certainly glad that each and every one of you are here this morning. I was so looking forward to this morning because Mike had told me about the title of his lesson for this morning, and unfortunately he got sick, not able to be here. And he had asked me to preach tonight, and I was going to kind of try to dovetail my sermon into his, and hopefully somewhere down the line, maybe not too far down the line, he can bring that lesson to us. But what I want us to focus on this morning is the idea that we are to finish our race strongly or in strength. Go back with me, and that was great reading. We appreciate that. But go back with me and notice something. Beginning in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he did not have long upon this earth. Paul understood that he indeed had lived his life out and that he did not have many days left. And he said to that end, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. He makes three bold statements here. Number one, he says, I've fought the good fight. He's held his ground. He taught the truth when it came to God and when it came to God's word. He was one who truly did preach without fear or favor. But then notice also that he said that I have finished the race. And there's where we are going to focus this morning. Finishing our race. And yes, he went on to say, he said, I've kept the faith, and finally, or henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all that love his appearing. Folks, he's talking about us in this day and age. He's talking about Christians from the time that he said that until now. He had a crown that he described as a crown of righteousness waiting for him that the Lord, who is the righteous judge, would give him, but not to him alone. But it requires for us to receive that crown. We must, absolutely must, run and finish the race. I used to run a lot. I averaged one time, just took holidays out and took weekends, some of the weekends off that I wasn't at home, maybe on vacation, and I averaged about 1,500 miles a year that I would run. And I understand this idea of running. And we look at it, we realize that there's a lot more to running than simply putting one foot in front of the other. So to that end, what we want to talk about this morning is we want to examine maybe some aspects, if you will, of running in a physical race and then making that parallel to our spiritual race here on earth. So first of all, we must first to decide to run in a race, don't we? We have to make that commitment in our mind. We have to go through a process. And nowadays, if you get in some sort of a race, an event you're going to run in, you have to sign up and you have to give them the information they need. And on race day, you'll get your number for your shirt and you have to be there on time. But you first have to make up the mind to run that race. And we ask ourselves several questions about it. What kind of race am I signing up for? You have to know that. You have to know if there is a reasonable expectation to be able to complete that race. Where I ran, most of mine were half marathons, about 13.1 miles. That's what I really enjoyed running the most. I ran some 5Ks and 10Ks too. I even tried at one point in time to work myself up to getting to a full marathon of 26.2 miles. I ran one Saturday for about 22 miles and I went home and I said, I'm done. All the fun was out of it. At 22 miles, I didn't want to run anymore and I knew I didn't want to run 26 miles. But we have to know what kind of race we're running. And we need to know why we even want to run. So in the process of making that decision to run that race, we have to ask ourselves some questions. We run here on earth as a rule to achieve some sort of a goal. That was my idea when I wanted to run that full marathon. I wanted to be able to say just once in my life I actually ran the full marathon. I can't even say that, but I did run a lot of half marathons. But we have that goal that we want. We may even be running to support a cause. Many of the events that you see have charitable aspect to them. They give it to the Alzheimer's Foundation or the Autism Foundation or something like that. Sometimes we even want to run to win a prize. But folks, the prizes we may win here on earth are perishable. The prizes that we may win here on earth are fleeting. People will soon forget about them. They'll go by the wayside. That medal that you got for running, the t-shirt that they gave you for running in the race, they'll be gone one of these days. But our spiritual race is not for a medal. It's not for prize money. It's for an eternal reward. Turn in your Bibles very quickly with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 24 and just reading through verse 25, let's notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." In other words, you may receive that prize. But notice what he says in verse 25. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." In other words, you have exercised self-control in order to get yourself to the point of being able to run in that race. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But notice what he says after that. "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." I don't care what you win when you run that race. It is one of these days going to perish. It's going to go away. But when you decide to make a run, whether it's talking about a physical run or a spiritual run, you can't run until you sign up. Just the way it works. For the Christian, you're making that commitment. In the Christian race, you have made a commitment. You've heard the Word of God proclaimed. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repented of your sins. You've confessed Christ. And then you were baptized, went down to that watery grave of baptism, and rose up to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 through 4. You signed up. They don't let you in an earthly race without signing up. You don't just show up and they say, "Okay, you go over here. Well, where's your number?" "Well, I didn't sign up for the race." Well, then you can't run. In the spiritual sense, we sign up when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But once we are signed up, the real work and the real training begins. That's when the real preparation begins with all of this. You see, once we're signed up to run the race, we cannot expect to compete regardless of what level you're running at, a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, full marathon, or what they call an ultra, if all we do is sit around. Well, I signed up. I'm ready to go run that race. Well, when is it? Well, it's going to be about 2 months from now. Are you going to train? Well, no, I'm just going to sit here and watch TV like I normally do. You're not going to get very far in that race. You're not going to be able to compete. You're not going to be able to complete that race. We must discipline our bodies in order to compete. And again, whether we're talking about a physical run here on earth or a spiritual one that we're striving for, like Paul talked about, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to get ready. And that means disciplining ourselves. Folks, we must run with a proper form. Believe it or not, that when you stop and think about it, if we don't run correctly, first thing's going to happen, probably we're going to injure ourselves. But number two, we'll never be able to compete in that race. Proper form works. If you don't have proper form for running and a distance, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fail, inevitably. Spiritually speaking, we must do what the Lord instructs us to do. That's number one. That's proper form, isn't it? Do what God said to do. Remember Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 48. Jesus there said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like unto. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." You see, he did what was right. He was looking for that home, that building, that house that was going to be there through thick and thin. The form was important. He went down to that rock in order to start that foundation, in order to build that house. I don't know if you've ever seen a situation where a home was built and the foundation was poor. Whoever did it did not know what they were doing. It doesn't take long, that house begins to crumble. Because that foundation is where it all starts. Folks, we have to establish a solid foundation for strengthening ourselves for the race. And that starts with being obedient to the gospel of Christ and then looking at God's word. What would God have me to do? But you know what else is important? A proper diet is essential to running any race, whether you're talking about physical or spiritual. If you're in a training program, there's an old saying that is really true. No matter how good your training program is, if your diet is bad, you will never achieve what you're trying to accomplish. The diet is essential. You can't sit there, as much as we all might like cheeseburgers, you can't sit around and eat cheeseburgers 2 and 3 times a day all week long and think that your training program is going to accomplish what you want it to. Folks, we have to study God's Word. We have to study to show ourselves approved to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The diet is necessary. We have to go dig into God's Word. We need to feast on God's Word. We need to put God's Word before us just like we would sit down at a table before a meal that's been prepared for us. Because, you know, when you stop and think about it, that's what God's Word really is. It's a spiritual meal. It's a spiritual feast. Number two on that, you have to stay away from the bad food. Like I said, you cannot look at your diet and say, well, I'll feed on this over here and this and a bit on God's Word. I'll read all this secular stuff that's not going to help me go to heaven. In fact, when I read it, I read all sorts of profanity written in that book, but I sure did like that author. Folks, we have to feast on God's Word. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, something that sometimes we forget to read when we're talking about 2 Timothy 2:15, because we talk about that often, study to show ourselves approved to God, one who is rightly dividing the word of truth, right? But what about 2:16? But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So you see, we have to eat the right stuff and put the bad stuff away. So we've decided to run the race. We've signed up. We started that training. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and race day comes. That's race day is life, folks. Every day that we wake up, it's a race day. And we're going to have hurdles that we're going to have to jump over sometimes. We're going to have great days where it seems like we're going to coast to victory. But folks, sometimes they are hard days. In the running parlance, it was hitting the wall. If you ever run any kind of distance, you know what I'm talking about. Hitting the wall is a phrase that runners often use to describe when the body seemingly can go no farther. You've done all you can. The heart is just pounding. It's beating so hard you're almost afraid it's going to burst. Your lungs are burning. You can't get enough oxygen. You're, as the expression goes, you're just sucking wind. You're not really achieving much. It feels like your legs have turned into jello. You just can't keep going. You've hit a wall. Simply put, you are in pain and you are suffering. One of the great quotes that I kept in my mind all those years that I ran was one by General George Patton. He said, "Never let the body tell the mind what to do, because the body will always give up." In other words, be self-controlled. Be in control. Let your mind be what helps you get through this Christian race that we're in. We want to finish in strength. We want to compete at the highest level that we possibly can. Don't let your body tell your mind you can't go on anymore. Have your mind tell your body, yes, you can, and yes, we will. We're going to be tested. We're going to be challenged. It's going to be hard at times as Christians. But don't let that body stop running. Let the mind tell the body one more step. And when you've taken that, tell that body one more step. The Christian race, by the way, was never intended to be easy. Think about Matthew 7 and verse 14. Jesus there said, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." See, there's difficulties. There are challenges. It's hard sometimes. When it talks about narrow is the gate, difficult is the way, you think in terms of something that is funneling down to a very narrow area. Not many people make it. Part of the way people are falling out. That path you're running on begins to get rough. It begins to get tough. And that gate that you're trying to enter in is narrow. It's difficult. It's challenging. But you know what? We're also promised a way to endure. A way to endure the suffering, much like when you read in the scripture when Paul would write to the church at Corinth, that there is a way that will be given to us to avoid those temptations, to deal with those temptations. But here he talks in Romans 8 and verse 16 that we can endure. Why? Because of our relationship with God. Why? Because we have brothers and sisters in Christ to help us. Romans 8 verse 16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If indeed we suffer with Him," listen, "that we may be glorified together." You see, just like temptations, God gives us that way out. Suffering is the same thing. We're not by ourselves. We're not alone. Folks, even the very best, I mean the absolute best, trained runner often needs encouragement. Sometimes you just don't want to, but you have to tell yourself, if I'm going to achieve my goal, I have to. Sometimes it means that somebody has to encourage you. I can remember in my own experience in running half marathons, there were times where I thought I hit the wall. But somebody would be coming up behind me and they would even slow their pace to say something encouraging. Yeah, you can do this. You just passed mile marker 12. You only have 1.1 miles left. Keep going. Well, folks, we need that, don't we? We all need that kind of encouragement. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and look at what we're instructed by this great writer here. And pick up in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And all of this has to do, every bit of this has to do with being strong and being committed and being faithful. Well, that's what we're told to do in this Christian race that we're in. Be strong, be committed, be faithful. He says, beginning, in fact, back up to verse 23, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, first of all, we have that encouragement from God himself. The Hebrew writer says, God who promised is faithful. Continue on. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Be considerate of each other. We see a brother or sister in Christ stumbling on this race. Help to pick them up. Slow your pace long enough to help them, get them going again, and then you can continue on. Let us consider one another, it says, in order to stir up, that is, provoke love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we look around at the world that we're in, and sometimes we look at our own physical or spiritual condition and we say, I just don't think I can go on. I'm not sure if I want to go on. But what we have here is light at the end of the tunnel. That line you're about to cross, when you get to see the very line that when you cross that, you've achieved that race. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 gives us great encouragement. Just following this great chapter of the heroes of the faith, Hebrews chapter 11, notice what he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, verse 2 of chapter 12. He says, therefore we also, since we are of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking where? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who has suffered like Christ has? Not me. And yet, listen to what it has. Look to Christ. Why? Because he endured the cross. He despised the despising the shame, and he sat down victoriously at the right hand of the Father. Friends, brethren, we need to finish strong. When we talk about finishing this life, we want to talk about finishing strong. That doesn't mean, as the old expression or expressions may go, you've probably heard, if you're older, you've heard these expressions, just mosey into the finish line. Just kind of dawdling, not really taking it seriously. I get the picture here in what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Even though Paul knew that the time for his departure was here, it was at hand. Guess what? I get the picture that he finished strong. He didn't sit down just before he got to the finish line and pout and whine because life had been hard to him. He kept running. And then that crown of righteousness was ready for him. Folks, I do believe it matters how we finish this Christian race. You may be in a physical race where it looks like you're walking, though you think you're running, and I've done that before. In a physical race, but in this life that we have, this spiritual race here, You don't walk. You push forward. We finish strong. In fact, I'm going to say if we don't finish strong, chances are we won't finish. We use all of our mental willpower. We use all of our spiritual effort to make this Christian race and finish it strong. Folks, it did not matter to Paul that he was in chains for the cause of Christ. It did not matter to Paul that he faced tribulation. It did not matter to Paul that he had once been stoned and left for dead. It didn't matter to Paul that he had been shipwrecked. Paul finished that faith, that race, in strong faith. His only concern was to finish his race in joy. And this really kind of brings us back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who's never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask the simple question, in conjunction with the lesson that we have had this morning, have you signed up for the race? Are you a child of God? Have you followed those simple steps that God has given mankind to become a child of God? To hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. Have you done that? Are you contemplating? Is something you've been thinking about? Then we simply say this, why are you waiting? Remember what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe it is the case that you've already obeyed the gospel of Christ. And maybe due to difficulties and challenges in this life, and there can be many, maybe you've kind of gotten out of the race. Or maybe you've just not putting one foot in front of the other properly. Maybe you've lost that form. Maybe you've gone to the point of you're walking now and you're disillusioned. Well, let me say something. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who are here to assist you in any way that you need. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you need to come forward and ask for the forgiveness of God and the prayers of the church. But whatever your need may be, if we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?